can know that, and therefore you can make that kind of a demand. But something which is a widespread custom, even if technically it's prohibited, a preacher should not make that kind of a demand. Thirdly, those women who came from countries in which their custom was to keep their entire hair covered are not obligated to keep that custom here, because there's no real basis for that prohibition. And the local society doesn't do that.
It's similar to what he said, the point of marriage.
Right. Yes. But this is, so these are very important principles, some of which, like, for example, the notion of what is erotic and what is not erotic is societally dependent, is a very reasonable principle. Okay. The Magen Avraham cites this. Shiva. If we look on my page 13a in the Magen Avraham Siman Dalet, Shorugilin Latzeit Mechutz, the Katar Varel Ashkar, Otan Nashim Habaim Yartzot She'ein Dakan Legalotan, Makom She'dakan Legalotan, Mutarim Legaloto, Ki Ein Dakim Ein Dakan Lachzor. So that's a slight distortion of what he's saying, but at least he cites the Maram Al Ashkar approving it. Of course, most of the Rabbanim after the Maram Al Ashkar were not brave enough to cite the Maram Al Ashkar. So we will have to see how this is dealt with. Okay.
So the Magen Avraham agrees with...
Hesitantly. A hesitant agreement, but not a full citation.
Only the third.
And only in the third principle. Okay. Now, the Maram Al Ashkar cites the Zohar, and I didn't reproduce the Zohar because some people around this table find it offensive, but at least I will read what the Zohar has to say on this subject, because it did have an impact. This is volume 3 of Tishbi's anthology of texts.
Okay. Where is it from, the Zohar?
2, 125b to 126a. But I'll read it in English. The Modesty of Jewish Women is the title of this particular section in Tishbi's book. Rabbi Ezekiel began by quoting, "Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine. Just as the vine will accept only its own kind, so the Jewish wife lives in the same way, accepting only her husband, like the dove who accepts only her own mate. So it is written, as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house." What does fruitful mean? Bearing, like bearing gall. Poria means parachat, spreading, because the vine produces branches on every side. Where? In the innermost part of your house, not outside in the street. Otherwise, she might be false to the supernal covenant. And it was Solomon who spoke of the woman that forsakes the Lord of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. And what is the covenant of her God? The place that is called covenant, by which she is connected. That's the Yisod. Hence, in the innermost part of your house, I will not be more explicit because it's a little offensive to some people. Rabbi Hezekiah said, "A curse falls upon the man who allows his wife to reveal her hair. This is part of family modesty. The woman who displays her hair as a mark of adornment leaves her household into poverty, deprives her children of respect, and brings an alien element in the home. What causes this? The hair itself. When the head of hair is revealed, and if this is true within the house, how much more outside in the street or with any other kind of immodesty? Consequently, your wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house." Rabbi Judah said, "If a woman reveals the hair on her head, she causes a different kind of hair to be revealed." What do you mean? This is a long discussion, but so the issue is, who wrote the Zohar?
Who is Rabbi Yechezkel?
There are many names that he cites, which are names of people that are well known, but whether they said these things or not is a different story. Yes. As but in any event, as Tishbi points out in his notes, in the representation of the Sfirot as a human being, the strands of hair symbolize strict judgments. which are revealed in order to punish her if a woman shows her hair.
This is almost a magic, a fear of magic.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Come and see. Just as in the male, the hair is the most critical element, so in the female. Look at the amount of harm a woman's hair can do. It affects the world above and the world below. It brings curses upon her husband. It brings poverty and an alien element into the home, and it deprives her children of respect. May the Merciful One protect us from a woman's immodesty. Therefore, a woman should cover her hair when she is at home. And if she does so, what is the result? Your children shall be like olive plants around your table. Why olive plants? The olive tree does not lose leaves in either winter or summer, and always gives the pride of place over and above other trees. So our children will be given the pride of place over other men. Moreover, our husband will be blessed in all things, which is blessings both from the world above and the world below, with riches and children and grandchildren. And so on. So that, therefore, covering of the woman's hair, even inside of the house, has theurgical properties, and if it's not covered, then this can bring strict judgment because the hair is associated with judgment in the scheme of things of the Zohar. And we have to now take into consideration, to some extent, what effect the Zohar had on Jewish practice, Jewish belief, and this particular issue of the covering of the hair. As we already saw in the Maram al Ashkar, he first tries to ward off any of the stuff of the Zohar because it says it's not talking about all hair, but only that hair which is normally covered, which is, of course, completely against the intent of the author of the Zohar. Because certainly, if hair represents some control over what's happening in the heavens above, the issue cannot be sociologically dependent if it's a purely magical issue. And then later he... After trying to do this, he throws up his hands and says, don't pay any attention to what the Zohar says anyway, because we only decide issues on the basis of the Gemara and the Poskim and our customs, don't pay too much attention to the Zohar. And of course, we many times in this year discussed, we read many things from Professor Katz's works on the effect of the Zohar and how it came to have a relatively major effect on both Jewish practice and halacha. According to the Zohar.
No, I mean the effect. If it has no relevance as far as halacha.
What?
Zohar. You don't take it as a source.
That's what the Maharam al Ashkar says. Yeah. But as we will see from later poskim, that's not necessarily true, and therefore a number of later poskim, in particular a posek whom you would not think should have anything to do with the Zohar, like the Chassam Sofer, in this particular issue says that Jewish practice has been to follow the Zohar, and therefore he prohibits any form of wearing of a shavel or anything like that.
Even in that house?
Even. Or prefers not to wear. I mean...
He prohibits wearing a shavel.
Oh, of course. This issue of whether or not you're allowed to wear a shekel was initiated in this discussion that we saw of by the Shultei HaGiborim, but extended all the way to the end of the 19th century and to some extent even to the present day. Most of the poskim do not allow a woman to wear a shekel.
What do they allow? Just a hat?
A tichel.
It isn't either or. There's other
things. For example, on my page 40, I believe.
Well, the custom now is that women with shavels have to wear a hat on top of it, too.
And then you have to wear another hat on top of the hat.
On the bottom of the right-hand corner column in my page 40, this is a collection of sources on the issue of the covering of the hair, which were collected by Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach. I assume it was the grandfather of our friend, Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach. And on number 32, at the very bottom of the right-hand side, Sava'at Rabbeinu HaKadosh Baal Chatam Sofer, Bezrat Hashem Yudhei Mintapred Sufem, Zachoris Kirenu Od Vifat Katan, Benotai V'Kalotai, my daughters and daughters-in-law, Yishamru Lachem Chalila V'Chalila L'Galot Tepach Nibsachem Al Yedei Kitzur Malbush, Tanahu Chatz V'Shalom. Don't show any portion of your flesh by wearing short clothes. None this type of practice should not be found amongst my household. Even the wearing of a shetel, I prohibit you with strict prohibition. So the Chatam Sofer wanted the women to keep their hair covered, as we'll see, in fact, sometimes even inside the house, and certainly prohibited the use of a shape. Okay. Let's move onward a little bit in time. Turn to my page 14, I'll only read the beginning paragraph. So this is by Rabbi Schlekelis, who was the Dayan in Prague, and was the Rav of Prague after the death of the Noda Yehuda. Hinei sha'alta ish chacham lev, ha'shanu ba'shemcha, al pi pe'ot nachriot. On the issue of wigs, shetlach, asher chadashim mikarov, the new practice, mekeli nashim nesuot, the married women have adopted the lenient practice of wearing a shetlach. Umalato harav nia hirhiv be'ayar ochavot v'pilpul atzum v'rav lachmir bar me'od. You have tried to make a publication to publicize the prohibition against this. And you quote Rabbi Allenberg's tshuva that we saw. Asher sham nishbu shneim hagaon hamachavrim v'agaon Rabbi Yitzchak Katzenelenbogen yotzei b'klei zayin v'cherev v'chanit. They take up arms in shelti agiborim. And they fought against him. Maskimim asher lo tova v'lo tishama l'hakev. Ki advarim b'telim hevel havalim v'himhim divrei shgagah yotzim v'lutmei shetai agiborim v'sechet shabbat achsamudal on the base v'lutmei shechet nazir d'afafet on the base. So both Rabbi Katzenelenbogen and Rabbi Eilenberg violent took up arms against this radical heter of the Shulte Agiborim of wearing a shetel. Ahuvi yedidinuru. Here's now his response. I'm not going to read the whole response, but just the opening paragraph. Kvar nishalti al zeh me'et gvir echad yorei v'chared al var Hashem al odot ishto ha'gvira im yesh yeter letzeit b'pei azu. A man asked me about his wife, whether she's allowed to go out with a shaper. V'hu k'mo 15 shanim v'lo horiti v'zeh lo li'isur v'lo heter. I refused to answer this particular question. I didn't want to get involved in this issue. I presume that his permission for a married woman to use a shetel was okay. Since I see that you tend to prohibit the use of a shetel, So he's afraid to take a position on this, more or less. He tends to be a machmir, but because of the fact that This rich man's wife was definitely wearing the shetel, as you can see from this, and women in Prague were wearing shetla. He did not want to take an open position against allowing the use of the shetel. On the other hand, the next generation, the leader of the next generation, had no such clause. We go to my page 21. This is the Chatam Sofer, who is never known to be hesitant. Ra'iti l'ra'ek kan dinei sar v'isha shenestabchu be'on v'divrei ha'magenevon simenayin hei v'v'remez sher ramaz ad shuvat marama lashkav simenayin hei be'aveh b'kitzu. So he's coming to take battle against the Magen Avraham. Hinei bebrachot kapdal ha'marach ha'minu nemishkech hoi kura b'shir ha'shirim b'sarech eder izin shmar menei be'arvahi v'chatzav ha'rasham davka l'nusurot shedarkan ke'en l'chatzot al p'niot shedarkan l'yot lav erlahi v'arav b'es Yosef ha'manu b'esi ha'rashpa shekazan nusurot na me'otom tzarot v'gilan l'tzed tutzot tzamatan והבעל רגיל בהן לא יעמיך בין הבעל והוא ומותר להבעל לקרוא שפי השפק נגדם היום שם כן כוונתו והנה בשיר השירים כתב דיבר לצמתך שרת כאלה ריזים פירוש שיבח בקרע בשני דרכים אלף ששצערה יפה כאלה ריזים שנית שבחה בצניות שהרי אותן השערות היפות המייפות אותה אם היו מגולים מכל מקום מחסים הם בבעל לצמתך שמובד כל השאר לו שעוד יש לצמת בגן המצמצם השאר שלא יבצתי לבוץ.
This is a wild interpretation.
A wild interpretation. ומכל מקום אותן מעט שאי אפשר לצמצם כתב הרשפה שיוצאים מהמצמות אינה ערבה לגבי הבעל ורגיל בינו מותר לכל קריאה שלו. In other words, the hair is covered both with a net covering the hair and then with an additional covering on that. And if one or two strands of hair happens to sneak out, the husband is allowed to say Kriyat Shema in the presence of those friends. וכתובות המדבי סוף ענף, איזהו דת יהודית יוצאת ראשה פרוע, ופריך ראשה פרוע דיורייתא היא, יכתיבו פרע את ראש האישה, ואם כן הווה אפילו דת, אם כן הווה אפילו דת נושה, ולמה קריך לדת יהודית, ומשני דיורייתא קלטה שפי אדמי, כאשר אמר מתפחת ראשה לחסות צערה שפה דמי, דת יהודית אפילו קלטה אסור עד שיראה את האות כובע על גבי קלטה. So she should wear a tichel and then a hat on top of the tichel. ושוב אמר רבי קלטה אין בה משום תוארו, שפך ובחצה אם כן לא ענק בבת עברה מבינו אלו מחצה, לחצה דרך מבול. ודעת התוספות שם בבחצה היינו בביתה ובחדרה מותר אפילו בלא קלטה נמי, ואין כאן ואין כן דעת צור ושולחן האורך, והבח חצה שכן דעת רמב"ם ופרש ישש, שבגילוי ממש אפילו בחדרה אסור. Keep a hair uncovered, even in the bedroom, is prohibited. והאלה בית שמואל, דלפי מנהגנו, הבידת יהודית בגילוי ממש, אפילו בחצרה בחדרה, ועל כל פנים איסור העיקה ואפילו היא לא תמה שלא תצא ולא כתובה, even though maybe you can't deprive her of a כתובה under these circumstances, כיוון שדרכה לחסות הבי אל ועל כל פנים. והשדה כיוון דפליגי הפוסקים בזה ועל עתור לאיסור עלו ונעלו כבתי שוב הווה לדין גמור שקיבלו עליי כהשדיה כמו שכתב אמר גבנצל ומן היוצא מזה ללכת במקום שרבים מצויים הווה במפחת בלי כובע she wears a tichel but no hat on top of the tichel עוברת על דת יהודית ויוצאת בלא כתובה and she can be deprived of her כתובה ובחצרה כבר קיבלו עליהו אבות אבותינו בכל מקום ששרפנו שנפוץ ישראל אסור על כל פנים and to go without a tichel even in the courtyard or in the privacy of her home in all places that I've heard of the custom is to prohibit ואפשר העוברת על זה יוצאת בלא כתובה and perhaps a woman who violates this law also can be divorced without a ketuvah shekvar na'aseh min minhag zeh bat yehudi
who's also a sociological relativist
in the opposite direction on number tshuvat maram arashka tzavah ha-shoel al minhag nashoteyen bi-eretz yishmael she-yotzer ke-nisrot shura achat shel tzaar bein ha-ozen l-padachat ha-lui lo v-katav ma'arik maram arashka al zeh she-gam בימי חשמי השף יצאו כן כדי צמצם וכשגזות וכשאין הנושאים שדהיינו בציר האייפון אך האורף פירו שהיא רגילות אותם צורות שיוצאו בין אוזן עובדה שהוא בעצידה כי הצידה הן אצטרה אצטרה אולי מי דיוני דה They didn't follow the din of Zecher L'Korban. One looks into the Zohar and sees that every single strand of hair should be prohibited. Shegorem miskenut, it causes poverty, v'dalut, and weakness, u'magdolot banim ra'im, and evil children, u'sha'arei tzarot. When we come upon Kevin, l'shikifi perish al-ruch, mashma ashat, bozen shuruah dal-kali galot, and came kol hecha, the flik hazor im ashas halakha ketamud edudan, v'katav od sham afilo haninashi debar mi al-sadom mi al-tzot Yishmael, v'shem nolo, nahagul ha-galot, אותם צרות אין מוכרח, מנהג ישראל, כמו נגעו כן, אלו משום דייצות אדם, גם מאומות אינם יוצאו כאילו צרות, כן, שכן, לא שייך, נותן לו איפה מי מקום שיצא משם, אלו דבר זר, והאמנם, בארצותינו, הונגרי, שהאומות יוצאו פורי ראש, that the Christian women go with their hair uncovered, ואימותינו לא יוצאו, but our mothers never uncovered the hair מאוד, וחשו לדברי הזוהר, and they were put the words of the Zohar seriously. V'kpidu al zeh ma'od. Af al gav de'ilu hayinu omdim leminyan l'kvo halacha ha'omiyan de'oto shirah nubrat v'shas leheter, haynu al pi ha'aruch lo krashban ve'ein halacha ka'zohar. Even though had we been forced to decide this issue on purely halachic principles, we would follow the Gemara with the interpretation of the Oh, which would allow a few strands of hair outside and not follow the Zohar. And we call makom. Kevan shatafsu ha-minhag ha-azohar, since the custom is to follow the Zohar, al zeh katav ha-maram shtay minhag orer halacha, va-naaseh halacha kavua. Dahaynu hechav de-sifrei hitzonim chavten rashat, v'yitzen ha-nem l-sifrei sofrim, v'demol, v'nera shukiske ha-zohar kadechad mehem, oto minhag ikal oker halacha, va-naaseh halacha rovachat Yisrael.
That's exactly the argument of Maharal Shaka, but that.
No, it's more than that. He's saying that they've decided this is now no longer the Maharam al-Ashkar saying that the issue of eroticism is sociologically dependent. He's now divorced it entirely from eroticism. He's saying that since the Zohar says that terrible things will happen in the upper heavens if a woman, married woman's hair is uncovered because the hair represents the strict judgment, And therefore the custom of covering the hair has been divorced from its erotic component entirely here.
Because they were worried about the Zohar.
Right. Hakal ha-yotze, kol shum sal, shum makom barosh u'padachat ha-nesua, afilu b'chedra ervahi, im lo sheyesh lo mitpachat ha-rosha. The woman should keep her hair under the tichel everywhere, even within the privacy of her own room, gam kova, and then in out in public, a hat on top of the tip. In those places in which this small strand of hair is customary, it's not yavah. We also say since in our country, in Hungary, we follow the Zohar, Ikar Oker Halacha, Ubefrat Lepelash Rashban, so Kaska En Kan Machloket, and Kain Isu Gabu, Viesh Lachosh Lo Rutsota Allah, Ha'amur Bezohar Hanal, and one should be concerned about the curse which the Zohar brings down, Omisha Chafetz Bevracha Yachik Nina. Okay. Alright. So, we now. Strong medicine, the Chatam Sofer is never concerned about these issues that the Maharam al-Ashkar brought about Mutav Sheyeshogim below you Neizidim. For him, the issue was, here's the law, I'm going to impose it, and these are the rules. And here, since our custom has been to follow the Zohar, although normally he has no use for the Zohar, here, so he must have had various other reasons in the back of his mind that the Zohar was just a useful device for him to impose his will. But nevertheless, he takes a strict view. The hair should be covered with a tichel inside the house. Outside the house, there should be a hat on top of the tichel. And certainly, as we saw in his last will and testament, a shekel is prohibited. Okay, so, now. All right. That brings us to about the middle of the 19th century. What?
Mandatory and changes.
No, this was the Chatam Sofer. And we will see.
He
was strict in everything, and his policy was always to enforce the strictest, most minute command of the law, because this was his general policy against fighting reform. So whereas the Maram Alashka was not confronted with a reform movement that had to deal with a relatively whole Jewish community, it is, but nevertheless, there was a certain practice. So A, he tried to justify the practice by interpreting it as being all the way in which people used to dress all the way back to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Whether this is true or not is irrelevant, but he justifies the practice. And secondly, he says, even if this practice were against the law, even if it were a din d'oraita, since this is what normally people do, and this is certainly not clearly written in the Torah, to the contrary, it would be prohibited for any preacher to try to insist that this is wrong. Okay. As I said, that brings us to the middle of the 19th century. The reform movement has already started, and therefore there are great numbers of Jews in Germany who are no longer following the halacha altogether. In big cities like Prague, the rich women at least were wearing shetlach, and the dayan or the rav of Prague was afraid to issue a prohibition, especially when one of his colleagues had found some kind of a heder. In a city like Mattersdorf, and even later in Strasbourg, where the Chatam Sofer regarded himself as the king of the realm, and within his community that was undoubtedly so, at least for those people in his community who followed him, he was Machmir. And now we have to go back and see what was happening both in Western Europe, for example, in the religious communities like Rabbi Hirsch's community in Germany on the one hand, and what was happening in Eastern Europe on the other hand. So I will continue this discussion next week, because it's worthwhile reading some of these tshuvot, especially a whole series of tshuvot of Moshe Feinstein on this issue, which are very eye-opening and enlightening. But maybe in the middle I will just simply read from the Aruch HaShulchan what the situation was, say, in Russia at the end of the 19th century. Simon Ayin Hay, you have the Aruch HaShulchan at home?
Yeah.
I didn't reproduce it here because I assume most people have it at home. Katur Avotenu Ba'alei HaShulchanot. So this is Simon Ayin Hay, Simon Rav. Katur Avotenu Ba'alei HaShulchanot, the sixth days. Seyar shal isha shedarka lachasoto asur lekod kenegdo afilu vishta. Aval ptulot shedarka melech kurot rosh mutav hu adin hasarot shal nashim shirugin lotzeif kutz lotzamatan. Mekol shekein seyar nochrit afilu darka lachasot עד כמה שנו, וזה שנבייר באבן העז, זה שמתפח וגם תנויות לא להלכו בגילוי ראש, זהו בבעולות כמו אמנות וגרושות ולא בתולות. ויש מי שכתב דאפיר בלותו, דאפ תולה לא תלך, ותשעה סרטר סתורות ולא תולות, ויש אומרים למחצה מותר כל אנשים, גם הנסורות, ללך בגילוי ראש. ואתה, בואו נצבח על פרצות תורנו, ביכולותינו הרב. Now let's go and cry about the immodesty of our generation. Sheze shanim rabot shenechutzu benot Yisrael ba'avon zeh. That these are many years that Jewish women have violated this law. V'holchot v'givu yirosh. V'kol ma shetzaku al zeh hu lo la'ezeh, hu lo la'hoyeh. And all the rabbis who tried to persuade the Jewish women in Russia otherwise were unsuccessful. V'yavta pastaha mispachat shehanusuot halchot basarot dahen kamo haptulot. And now the evil has spread that even married women go with their hair uncovered, just like the unmarried women. Oy lanu she'alta b'yameinu kach. Woe to us that this is a cup. Mihu al kol panim ledina. Now, on the other hand, nevertheless, nirashim im chalon alit paleel ulorech neged roshotehem gulot, kevan sha'ata ruban hol cholka. Since most married women go with their hair uncovered, there's no longer any prohibition against saying kriyat shema or a bracha. And therefore the uncovered hair is no different than those uncovered portions of her body that she normally goes, like the face or the hands and so on. כמו שכתב המורכה בשם אוהביו, זה לשונו, כל הדברים שהזכרנו לאהבה, דווקא בדבר שאין בגילות גלות. אבל בתולה או גילה בגילוי ישראל, לא חיישים בלק אחר כמה שנו, וכיוון שאצלנו, גם הנשואות כן, since all the married women here in Russia also keep their hair uncovered, ממילא דלקה הילכו. Therefore there's no erotic component to even a married woman keeping her hair uncovered, and therefore it would be permissible to say Shema and make a bracha in the presence of a woman whose hair is uncovered. Okay? So this, I'm bringing both as a halakhic statement. He follows the Maharam al Ashkar at least to the extent of, and of course he follows him reasonably in saying that on the one hand, the law might try to entail to make a definition of what constitutes modesty and what doesn't constitute modesty. But on the other hand, if there's a standard current practice, then what's considered erotically stimulating will depend on what the current practice is. And since Jewish women, like my mother and my grandmother and like the Rebbetzin and like the women in Russia 100 years ago or even more at the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, did not cover their hair, therefore there's no prohibition against davening or saying Kriya Shema in the presence of a married woman whose hair is uncovered. Okay? We'll take the subject up again in Yitz Hashem next week, where you'll see some tshuvot of Rabbi Hildesheimer, who tries to find some justification for wearing a shekel. Keeping going around with the hair uncovered was not a conceivable option for the Jews and Jewish women belonging to that community at the time. And in Yitz Hashem we will study a whole series, maybe 7 or 8 or even more, tshuvot of Moshe Feinstein on this issue. It's all in here, so you can read them in advance of our taking them up.
I'll pick up the question that on a show women wear hats.
Some do.
Always have, for years and years. Still a single girl.
Apparently, at the
time, without a hat.
Apparently, at the time of the Aruch HaShulchan, many of the married Jewish women didn't go to shul with a hat.
They didn't go to shul.
Oh, they didn't go to shul.
Do you know anything about the Aruch HaShulchan family? What's his own wife?
I do not know. I do not know what Rav Moshe's wife did. I know that his daughters-in-law wear a sheikh. So, and we'll see that he allows the wearing of the sheikh.
But one thing, find attractive or erotic in a woman that's sort of a uniform system throughout the society just belies any practical observance.
Well, I don't know.
What turns men on, whether a woman has a hair showing or a hair not showing, is a very individual thing.
I don't agree with that. I think that in different societies, different aspects of a person are considered erotic. I mean, in this country, for example, breasts, for some reason or other, have become a focus of erotic advertising. And, for example, even in my own lifetime, let's take it away from women, take your advice, and discuss what's physically attractive or erotic in the male. I mean, when I was young, it was a bicep. And now it's having a ribbed abdomen with no fat showing. So even in my own lifetime, the notion of what constitutes male erotic attractiveness, at least as far as the little that I know about it from seeing the television commercials, has changed drastically from the arms to the abdomen. I mean, this is.
But it's still a very.
I don't believe it. I believe that it's prime. It may be.
That's how we select zombies.
That's true. But what is considered those aspects which are erotic is, I think, to a very great extent, sociologically determined.
Anyway, the purpose of these laws isn't necessarily to keep one person or another from being turned on. It's that, I mean, it's sort of, I guess that's trying to keep the women from being a public nuisance.
I don't know about that. I don't subscribe to that.
Or a private nuisance.
Right. And so if it doesn't bother most people, then, you know, if there are one or two people, that can't be helped. But
I disagree. I feel that in the main, this is sociologically and societally determined, as the Maram Alashka and the Aruch HaShulchan say. It may vary in intensity from one individual to another, or within the same individual over his lifetime, but there is a basic sociological component. And also we've established the fact that, at least as far as this particular law is concerned, amongst Russian Jews, that is, my grandmother, and we'll see also the same true, there's a very short and amusing tshuva of the Marsham, where he refuses to accept he says that he's the Rav, one of the great Rav, one of my heroes amongst the poskim, and we'll see it next week. He decides that he's not going to accept Shedavachs. That is, he knows that he has to leave a Masada Kedusha. So that it's inevitable that he has to make the Brachos of Birchos Kedusha. He's the Rav, he can't get away from that. So he closes his eyes. But since he is not obligated to say the Sheva Brachos, they can give that honor to someone else. And since there's a discussion whether closing the eyes in the presence of uncovered hair is sufficient in the case of saying a Baruch, he does, and since the majority of the poskim say merely closing your eyes isn't enough, he has decided not to accept he has to be the Masada Kedushin. So those Brachos in which he's forced to make, like the Brachos Kedushin, but the Sheva Brachos, any one of those, since he has an option of deciding, making sure that honor goes to someone else, he doesn't do it anymore. So therefore, in Galicia as well as in Lithuania and Russia, the Jewish women as of 100 to 120 years ago were not married women, were not in the main covering their hair. So this custom didn't start with my grandmother, but may have continued a certain way back. So we will continue with this next time. I think what's going to be most interesting is our reading of the Shavuos of Moshe, because you have to just admire the way he weaves through,
squeezes his way
through all of these problems.
I still have my original question.
Which is,
the first, from the Talmud, the first source that was quoted here from the
Mishnah,
from the Mishnah before that was from Mishnah HaShirim. But I thought that even earlier in the Chumash, when it talked about a woman going out with a hair loose, that perhaps that was the original reason.
Well, I have in this collection a long discussion on this topic by Weinberg, Pierre Weinberg, Sudeish. And he goes into a lengthy, detailed discussion of the etymological meaning of the word parua, pararosha, etc.
Yeah, that's
so if that's the issue that you want, you have a complete, thorough...
But I thought that's what it was all based on, and then you're saying it isn't.
No. Come on, let's be realistic about this. But he bases it on that. He refuses to get into this issue. I attached his tshuva not because I admire the tshuva, but because it's an indication of his approach to many of these kinds of questions. There was an interesting biography of him just recently. Did you read it? What did you think of it?
I liked the biography. I was astounded by what happened in his period and what people were saying.
Yeah, well, that was a sad component, and of course he was unaware of what was happening at the destruction of the Jews because he was interned in the camp. Now, what's much more interesting, what's interesting is his views on Rabbi Soloveitchik, for example. Rabbi Weinberg, Yechiel Weinberg, Swedish. Did you read Professor Nadler's review of that book that appeared in the foreword? Read Rabbi Nadler, huh?
Okay,
yeah. It's very interesting. The biography is very good and very useful to read, but it leaves out a whole component, which only someone who knows a little bit more about the inside story can. And Nadler didn't even know some of the details there. So. At any rate, I recommend the biography, but it's not the whole story. Shapiro?
Mark Shapiro.
What's the name of the book? What's the name of the...
What? Which program are you talking about? The portion that was left out was the portion that Professor Tversky would not have allowed in.
Now you've tantalized us. What's this about?
All right.
You're too young. You're too young.